I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble, the podcast that is often, if not always, on a ragger tip. My name is Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore will experience this with us.
Favourite intro of the season.
And the man...
Love it.
Thank you very much. The man whose sack was recently emptied, it's Pete Donaldson!
Pick it up now.
Marcus, you've just highlighted that Man United are just missing an absolute trick by not doing a David De Gea on a ragger tip chant there.
Yeah. De Gea.
You can have that, United fans.
We'll have it all.
Give you some sort of entertainment for at least the next sort of couple of minutes. after that, another lack of a win.
Yep. come on to that in just a minute.
I'd love a draw to be called a lack of a win.
Yeah. You get for want of a lack of a win.
Yeah, how'd you get on the weekend? Lack of a win.
Lack of a loss.
An unwin.
A winless match. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, down under in Australia's A-League, referee Benjamin Williams, who officiated Sydney FC versus Central Coast Mariners, broke with footballing tradition and injected some Christmas tradition into pre-match proceedings. Instead of a coin toss just before kickoff, he instigated a Christmas cracker pulling contest. I love that.
I do as well.
I love that.
I think it should have been the chickens at Wishbone.
Yeah, that's a great shout as well. But it would have to be a turkey. Yeah. Do turkeys have a wishbone? We don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I presume they're quite physiologically similar, aren't they?
But I reckon if a turkey was going to have a wishbone, it would, as you say, be physiologically similar but larger. Mm.
And drier.
Yeah.
And nobody wants it.
I love the fact in Australia...
Stuffing for marrow.
I love the fact that the guy can do that. I don't know what the reaction was in the local press. Maybe people called him a moron. Maybe they didn't.
It was amazing because in the US, they don't have Christmas crackers. It's not a thing.
Mm. Oh, right. Okay.
And my girlfriend's American, as you all know, and she saw that and she was like, what are they doing? She had no reference.
Why
point
are they pulling
all.
That shiny tube?
Yeah, no
it's the
idea.
Shiny tube pull.
That's quite odd. I didn't think about that. Well, the Aussies obviously do. Imagine if, you know, I can't think of a referee off the top of my head.
Martin Atkinson.
Kevin Friend.
One of the two been selected for Euro 2016 from the England camp next year.
No, imagine if Kevin Friend went, we're going to have a Christmas cracker instead of a coin toss.
Yeah. I love that Australian approach to
that's
things.
That's what I mean.
It'd be fine.
He would probably misplace the crackers, open them early by accident, then give all the crackers in the box a yellow card.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But you're right, Jim. It's just kind of like, it'll be fine. Because it is fine. Yeah.
I'm surprised the A-League wasn't like smashing a tinny. See who finishes the titty
first.
No,
he wasn't. Yeah. Smashing a titty. Well, if you could inject a Christmas tradition anywhere into football, what would you go for, Jim?
I would like to see, before matches, a sort of almost like a sort of miniature version of Christmas Day. Like everyone in the squad and the fans in the stands sit around watching like a Christmas movie on the big screen, like Home Alone or something like that. They have a dinner and they get like proper Christmas smashed. Yep. And then it's just a really drunken game of football.
Yeah. Mm.
But I would love to see
really
professional
full.
Players hammered, full of gravy and turkey.
Arguing just, with each other about how many Muslims they see in Hartlepool in a town centre of a week. Because that's the argument I had.
Oh, really? Someone's had a Christmas up back home.
I talk to them all the time. I go, no, you don't. You're in Hartlepool.
Not now. Yeah.
Save it for your dad.
There's another one. How much water are you putting in a bath?
Eh?
How much water you put in a bath?
Yeah.
I'll just translate for you.
For a bath.
How much water you put in a bath?
Jim, we'll get back to your answer in a minute. Don't worry.
Okay, let's go off
piece. Why have you hijacked this?
Have it back. I'm just saying. They're the two major arguments I had.
So I logged into the Ramble Twitter over Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw a load of tweets saying, I'd say about four or five, all saying variations on this theme at Football Ramble. Just seen Pete out in wherever, Hartlepool. He's a mad one.
He's a mad head.
Somebody emailed in saying that I'm in Dubai and my friend met Pete in Hartlepool Town Centre over the Christmas period and he's got really small hands. I do have really small hands. Yeah. But why is he texting me in Dubai Pete's got really small hands?
Pete was ushering people of all kinds of faith out of Hartlepool Square and trying to put his bathtub
hands.
In the middle of it and fill it up with a certain amount of water.
Yeah, so a certain amount of Muslim friends in a bath.
What's the issue with the levels of bath? Water. What's your dad saying?
Let's do
this.
My dad reckons A, that he speaks to Muslims every week, and he doesn't.
He doesn't ignore.
No, he's not got a problem either. I just said that, Dad, I've probably got more chances of speaking to more religious minorities and ethnic minorities than you do. And he said, no.
In the bath.
Right, okay.
I love how that accelerates.
We understand Dad's having controversial views.
One is like a massively quite serious issue, which is potentially... and the other one is a political hot potato.
No, we were both on the right side of being racist or awful, but...
just get to the bath!
Yeah. I put too much water in the bath.
Thank you!
He reckons a leg's width is enough for a bath. I'm going, that's not
what?
A bath.
No, that's not a bath.
It's not a bath.
That's a puddle.
Yeah.
That's an indoor puddle.
He's not having it.
I don't know with you on that.
I don't know if you guys have across this and whether the listeners probably aren't, but Pete, it goes underrated. Pete actually loves a bath. Mm. You do love a bath.
Yeah, but yeah.
When we went to South Africa for the 2010 World Cup, obviously I roomed with Pete. He was forever in the bath.
Yeah.
Forever in there.
The thing is though, right, I don't have a bath in my house now, and that's the first bath I've taken all year.
And your dad ruined it.
And my dad ruined it by saying, yeah.
It's kind of like in the old days. Didn't they have like a bath on their birthday? I mean, they didn't wash. The trouble is, they didn't shower as well.
I did push the tin bath into the centre of the room.
In front of the fire.
Yeah, in front of the fire.
So you could warm the
loafer
up.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Are we ready to go back to the opening question?
Oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's the last one of the year. Who cares?
Just a drunken, proper, like, condensed Christmas day. But just imagine it, though. Actual Premier League players hammered.
Everyone gets a stitch.
Yeah, just, oh, God, yeah. Just like a real sort of party atmosphere. Doesn't matter who wins. They don't even keep score.
Mm.
The ref's drunk as well.
It's kind of like our Christmas break. Because let's face it, England's not going to stop playing football anytime soon over the Christmas period.
No.
So should we have a Christmas break? Let's just get all of it together.
Yeah.
You know. There's no breaks.
Mm. Yeah, this is very similar to my answer, but I'm not changing mine.
Yeah.
I was going to say, for the Boxing Day games, it's televised like an FA Cup final used to be, where they start the TV coverage like 8 a.m.
Mm. Yeah.
And whatever the televised game is, they all have a massive meal, and you have to watch it, we don't have to watch it, but you choose to watch it, opening crackers, putting the hats on, playing party games, that sort of stuff. Drink obviously could be taken as well, but I was just going to extend it slightly by saying they kick off at normal time, so 3 o'clock or whatever, but every puke is a yellow card. So you can puke once.
Yeah.
If you puke twice, you're off.
Right.
So, but they still have to eat like it's a normal meal. They can't scrimp on the food.
Yeah.
And I think that would make it very, very, very entertaining.
The throw-ins would become throps.
They would, possibly.
And like it.
Jim said, oh, yeah, you get the ref involved, he's drunk as well. The whole thing you described just essentially sounded to me like a Newcastle United Aston Villa game. So it's already happening, mate.
Yeah. One good thing would be if they had to eat during the game rather than before.
Turkey legs for shin pads.
Just loads of stuff on the.
Or wear actual Christmas stockings instead of
tints around the goalpost. Yeah.
Well, let me come in with my idea.
Oh, yeah.
Centre circle, a recessed wheel of cheese.
Oh, that's nice.
And you can just sort of just get your head in there.
Get down.
Get down and dirty.
What cheese are you talking about? A wheel of Stilton, presumably?
No, I'd probably go for Brie, actually. Brie's a big Christmas edition of mine.
Why not go further?
Well, Newcastle United have got a lot of French imports, so I had a lot of French imports over the past few years.
Why not go further and make the entire pitch food and combine all of our answers?
Corner kick, fruit corners.
Yeah.
You got to eat just jam and Greek yogurt.
I feel
together.
Like, and it's a testament to this show. Yeah. I think you've mentioned Müller fruit corners as corner.
Have I?
Before.
Yeah. Are you going on about
yogurts before?
We've had a long stint. Yogurt's always my go-to kind of silly thing to do.
Because
it's quite an antisocial thing to eat.
Is it?
I once saw a woman eating a fruit corner, and she was jamming bits of popcorn into the fruit corner.
The
addition of the jam wasn't enough. She wanted to get popcorn, but it wasn't really going in. It was too big.
Was this in Hartlepool
Town
Centre?
The orbs of popcorn were too large. No, it was on the tube.
I've got a mate who shall remain nameless to protect the innocent. Who had the fattest snack I've ever seen was him sat in front of the TV with a massive tin of Cadbury's Roses and a pot of clotted cream. Dipping them into the clotted cream.
That is a heart attack.
And that narrowly beats the guy I met saw at university once who had a bowl of cereal.
Who was this?
But I'm not saying that either.
Is it Tiggy Rainbow?
No, it wasn't.
I just thought I'd get his name out there.
It wasn't.
We've gone too long without a Tiggy Rainbow mention
but it
on
wasn't
this
him.
Show.
As much as I'd like it to be him, it wasn't. Because he's not a fat man, as you well know.
That's true. I think I know who this is.
Instead of breakfast cereal, it was a bowl of M&Ms with milk on them.
Oh, good God.
Yeah. Actually, not to me, hilarious tweakers.
A lot of breakfast cereals are just chocolate now. So,
yeah, absolutely, sugar. Yeah,
but there's got to be some maize or some corn in there as well. You can't just have, heavy.
A lot of cereals are just chocolate now. Yeah. Bring back National Service.
Campbell, the Daily Express.
Things like cream.
Do you want to chat with my dad?
Yeah. Oh, dearie me.
He would be busy talking to his Muslim friends, mate.
Yeah, I'd like to be at the point that we weren't arguing, we weren't on different sides.
Your dad's team Muslim.
My dad's not a racist, yeah.
Yeah, your team people.
And if I have to say
which
that one
ironic,
more time.
Which is ironic, given who his son is.
A Muslim.
Yeah. You've all gone down the food route.
Well, Christmas,
you?
Isn't it? That's what Christmas is.
Yeah. Well, there are other things. You could have had, Christmas trees for goalposts.
That would be nice.
We had tints around the goalposts from Jim.
Not the same, is it?
No, it's not.
I went for mistletoe being introduced at one game. You don't know where it's going to be.
Yeah.
And suddenly, the missile does it. And both managers have to get off of each other.
Oh, that's good.
Full on patch. To be honest, Pete, I knew you'd be behind this.
Because it's kissing. That's the other one next to yogurt.
I thought you'd have this.
That makes it the top three. The top three of Pete's go-to tropes are yogurt, kissing, men kissing, and wetting
and
yourself.
Bathtubs.
And wetting yourself.
Yeah, wetting yourself, kissing, and yogurt.
Often in that order.
I'm proud of that one.
And sometimes after
together.
You've done the two, you get the yogurt as a treat.
I went for a phase of answering every opening question about 2 years ago. If I just probably wet myself. One of them was a goal celebration. I'll probably just run to the bench and wet myself.
And then kiss everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so you don't know where it's going to be?
It could come in on a drone.
It could
be like the the Premier League trophy in the helicopter.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It could turn up at any moment.
A mistletoe floats. Drone is a proper like perverse use of technology, isn't it? Can you imagine just walking around the park?
Number one choice for me would be Kike Sanchez Flores.
Yeah,
bottom choice for me would probably be.
Because Hiddink and Van Hal.
Van Hal.
Because it could have been the Dutch guys going at it.
No, I mean for me to kiss.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the fixtures that we just had.
Steve McLaren, he'd feel a bit flaky.
A bit tiffy. He'd be bitey.
There we
are.
Big Sam wouldn't be pleasant.
He's got some nice kisses.
Come here, you.
Yeah, it'd be sloppy. It'd be
you
very, very generous.
You find any
fruit
in my teeth, you can have it.
Yeah, I think he'd be okay.
Okay, fair enough.
You know.
Yeah, he's mid-table.
When I say he'd be okay, it's in the context of the answer. I don't think generally Big Sam would be all right to snog.
The beauty of the Big Sam kiss would be the cover you get alongside it.
Yeah.
Big bear hug, wouldn't
he? He'd find it funny, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
What about pards?
He'd probably be really arrogant about it. He'd stink of cologne as well.
Get in line, he'd say.
Yeah,
it'd be get in line, tuts.
This is my 14th one today.
But he's still going to go at it absolutely hammer and tongs.
Yeah, I think he'd slip a tongue in there.
I'm going to snog the granny out of it. That's what he'd say.
I'm going to snog its back doors in.
And then he'd get the girl that he's drawn on his wrist to kiss you as well.
Yeah. I think we've spent too much time on the opening question.
You did the kiss. You brought kissing in this time,
I did,
Marcus.
And it's won me the points.
Well done, Marcus.
I can't even remember what your answer was.
It was the mistletoe.
It was good, to be fair.
The fact that we've just watched Man United nil Chelsea, I've got no desire at all to talk about football. I might be
I'm done with it. All right,
well, okay, we'll start the Premier League chat with Everton 3, Stoke 4.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair, isn't it?
That's a suitable compromise.
The Potters have simply had a wonderful Christmas time.
They really have.
They have. Peter, Shaqiri, one of the goals of the season.
That goal was a dirt bag. That goal sold cigarettes to children outside the school gates. That's how dirty.
Out of an ice cream van.
Yeah, that's how dirty that goal
is. That goal take the top 40 off the radio.
That dirty brought up yogurt all the time.
Oh, dear.
That goal took a massive spit in the urinal.
Yeah, one of the goals of the season, surely.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Can I please just say one thing?
I just want to say you came in the studio having not seen it, and then we showed you it.
I'm not going full. I'm just putting it out there as a point of discussion.
You either go in with 2 feet or don't.
Okay. True. Okay, that's the opposite to what that referee said to me. I think all I'm saying is he does look across.
Yeah.
And the fraction before
he
strikes
the ball.
You
think he might be trying to cross it?
I don't know. I think it's possible.
The way he hits
it. Enemy of football.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. I'm just saying that. It's got to be mentioned.
As loathed as I am to buy into your narrative there, if you look at actually the shape of his foot when he connects with the ball, it is a strange connection. And it is quite a deft touch. And it would be the type of connection and touch that you would think someone would make when trying to cross the ball. However, I choose to believe that he's actually kind of dinked it, and it's sort of a dink car folly.
I don't know who you people are anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I'm all for Shaqiri's goal, and I'm all for bathtubs and all the rest of it. All right, so don't worry about
it. I'm not someone who's deliberately cynical about it. I mean, Bergkamp's famous goal against Newcastle. I'm completely on board with that, 100%. But I just think if he hadn't done the look, because to me. The reason I'm saying that, I know he's a very talented player, but for me, if you're going to have that sort of execute that sort of finish, you are focused 100% on the goal. You're looking where the goalkeeper is, you're looking where the goal is in relation to where you're going to put the ball. I'm not doubting he hasn't got the ability to do it.
Yep.
I'm just saying the fact that his concentration isn't fully on finishing it, he looks across a couple times to, I think it's Arnautovic running along. And the way his foot moves, it looks like he might have just sliced it.
But is he not looking for covering defenders who can get back on the line?
Possible,
maybe?
It's possible, Pete. Yeah, I'm not saying I know.
It is a bit of a lob, isn't it? But it was a golf club of a shot.
Not one of the best ones he scored, though, is it, Luke?
Oh, no, apparently, after the game on Five Live, I was listening to it, he said, I think it was That wasn't Pat Murphy because he was at Stoke. He was at West Brom. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It was. It was
someone said Danny Murphy.
Is it the best goal you ever scored? And Shaqiri just said, "I've scored a lot of nice goals."
I love that. Because it's a snide
Enjoy
question.
All my work.
Yes. What about that left foot pinger for Switzerland in the World Cup?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a snidey question, isn't it? Yeah. It almost implies it's sort of a bit of a fluke, or like, "Oh, you've peaked now."
It's just a headline, isn't it? They just want a headline. Oh, yeah. Shaqiri, that's my best goal ever. It's easy maybe. For them, isn't it?
It's easy. It's very easy.
But I think good on him for being confident.
Good on him. He got a couple, didn't he? Lukaku was on the sheet again with Deulofeu. They're having a lovely time, those two.
Yeah. And Barkley as well, that trio.
The problem is with Everton.
They lost, though, Jim.
Yeah, they lost the game because they have concentration problems and they can't defend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Martinez thing, I believe. If the first season Martinez took over at Everton, he sort of didn't really touch the Everton, Moyes Everton backline that much, and as a result they conceded about 39-40 goals that season. They were fine, they came fifth, didn't they, something like that. Next season they conceded way too many because he started playing around with it, and I just don't think Martinez, while it's hard to judge him on the Wigan thing because Wigan were always up against it anyway defensively because of the type of club they were, I don't think he's fully adept at setting up teams defensively. Have you heard what Tim Vickery said about when they signed Funes Mori?
No.
The centre-back, it was a while ago. He was saying, like, you know, he's a real typical Martinez defender, you know. He's comfortable with the ball at his feet. He can play a nice short pass. Mm. But defensively, he's suspect. And he's going to be even more suspect when you take him from South America and put him in the Premier League.
Well, Everton... Sorry, Luke, you were going to say...
Well, I was just going to finish off by saying... and also, if you want to know why... And I've said before that I think John Stones is potentially slightly overrated. It's not his fault. Only young, with a lot of promise, good player. But he's a bit overrated. If you look at how he defended against Stoke for the penalty, which of course probably wasn't a penalty, he defended in a way that made the referee able to make a decision to go against him. And
you know, there's an argument there that I understand what you mean, but there's an argument there that you just said yourself that you weren't sure it was a penalty. Some people will think it is. I would perhaps suggest that the majority wouldn't because he does seem to get the ball. If that's not given, which you probably think it shouldn't be given, then it's a great tackle, is it not?
No, but well, you're fine, but let me qualify what I mean. Right, so, and I fully understand that he's a young man, he's still learning his trade at the top level, and it's late in the game, so he's probably tired, I understand that. But what he does is he shows Arnautovic, was it Arnautovic he was playing against? Arnautovic certainly took the penalty. Yeah. Whoever the forward player was, he showed him onto his weaker side away from goal, which was the right thing to do on paper, but he's not close enough to him.
Yeah, he's gone, it's the ball's got behind him.
If you're not close enough, he can go past you, and then you've got to make a decision to make a slide tackle in your own penalty area.
Yeah.
So fine if it was a well-executed slide tackle, it was harsh of him to be penalised for it, but my argument is... He should have been closer and he shouldn't have had to make that slide tackle. And that is an example of how he needs to, in my opinion, at the top level to improve as a defender. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they've got Stones and Jagielka playing at the back, obviously, and they've got some decent fullbacks and Baines has come back into the side. But they've conceded 28 goals, more than any other team in the top 13 in the league. They concede a lot of goals. They do score a lot of goals. They've scored 35, only Leicester and Manchester City have scored more, but which makes them ridiculously entertaining.
Yeah, they're great, aren't they?
They conceded 50 last season.
Yeah.
Well over a goal.
I think they'll get better with Baines, but watching him against Newcastle, I thought he was really good. He held the ball up well.
Kept just, a clean sheet in that one.
Yeah, that's a sick no, isn't it?
They shouldn't have done, though.
I was in the stadium for it.
You were?
I laughed and then
cried.
Went for a drink.
Yeah.
Was it one of those things where you didn't care that much because you knew you were getting pissed off?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
They sell yogurts in St James' Park. What is the
alcoholic ones?
Yeah.
They're full of vodka.
I had a brioche.
The little corner ones is like a vodka, you flip it over.
It's still like a jam, but it's just a really alcoholic one.
I hate to cut you guys off there, but I think Pete was about to say he had a brioche.
I had a brioche.
I had a
pulled pork brioche bun. It wasn't very nice. I mean, if you're going to sell
the times they are
hoity-toity food, you may as well get it right. That's all I'm saying.
Cockney mafia out.
Cockney chefs in.
Shoreditch mafia out.
That's right, yeah. But yeah, Everton, I mean, funny old time. They obviously got 3 points against Newcastle and then lost at home. And Arnautovic, he slipped with the penalty, but it seemed to help him. Unlike Oscar for Chelsea,
He's got a golden touch at the moment, isn't he?
He does. It was a lovely one. And Stoke are now playing like the side, because obviously they got off to a poor start to the season, but they're playing like the team that many thought they could be this season with the players that they have, which is good to see. Hughes is doing an excellent job, and if they continue this, they could finish higher than their previous best position in the Premier League.
I think they probably will do.
Was it ninth or eighth?
Yeah, I think it was ninth. And I think,
which was under Hughes, of course, only
part of the reason. Part of the reason that that's taken them a while is because of the players they brought in, big characters, fairly big egos, different sort of tricky, jinky type players who are all adjusting to a new, not all of them, but a lot of them are adjusting to a new league. It's always going to take them a while. But the way the Premier League is this season, what managers are just crying out for is just a little bit of consistency.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of consistency like Tottenham are doing, You can go a long way in this division this season, absolutely no question. Mm. And they play West Brom next, and then the next Premier League game after that, they're at home to Norwich. If they could win both those games before they go play against Arsenal in the middle of Jan, they could be in real good shape because they're only 2 points off fifth.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the one thing it's worth talking about perhaps and exploring a little bit more is the fact that Mark Hughes seems to have been tainted by his time at Man City as a manager and that difficult period he had at QPR. So other than that, he's done fairly well.
He has.
And he didn't do that badly at Manchester City.
Yeah, but he had you know, other managers looming over him the whole time.
Other managers, and also Robinho, he never made that signing. And you could see it with Hughes that with Manchester City, they started signing these big players. Things started happening that were out of his control. And you could just see him thinking, it was a bit like Ranieri when he came to his time, end of the time at Chelsea. You can just see them thinking, this is slipping away from me now.
Yeah.
And therefore it's hard to put your heart and soul on it. But you're right, Luke. I mean, with Blackburn, he did a good job. With Fulham, he did a very good job. I think he got Fulham into eighth position or something 1 year. And he's doing a great job with Stoke
and
right now.
And he's also a very, very popular player at both Man United and Chelsea. Well, need a manager.
Do you think?
Are we just sort of giving Mark Hughes props unduly simply because there are those teams with a slot available? And obviously, he's a very popular player at Manchester United.
Yeah, but Luke, I remember we said, though, a number of years ago that when he took the City job, the Manchester City job, we thought, what was he doing? Because we thought that he actually might go on to become Manchester United manager once Ferguson steps down. Now, like you say, maybe he's slightly tainted now. And for him to end up at Manchester United, you'd be quite surprised. But it would have been interesting had he ifs and buts.
I'm not endorsing him for the jobs, either of them. I'm just saying it's odd that he hasn't been a part of the conversation at any point.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it's that tainting from...
Possibly that, but also I know a couple of... I've interviewed and worked with, a certain extent, a couple of players who've played under Hughes, and both have said to me he's quite an odd character. Mm. And I wonder... You think he'd be really personable, but he actually isn't that personable.
Well, the handshakes thing is...
Yeah, exactly. That's a good example of that. And I wonder whether at the very top level they think he's not quite suitable. But all I'm saying, I'm not linking him with the job or saying he should do it or anything like that. I'm just saying it's weird that he hasn't been part of the conversation at all.
It's like, historically, though, he seems to always have one season a bit guff and then really goes for it.
Yeah.
He seems to end his tenure better than he starts. And you can't afford to do that at Manchester United. Look at how the last two managers
have been.
Can't
get much worse than him, can it?
No, not really.
And he's following up, to be fair, Pete, I understand what you're saying, but he's following up last season with another good season this season. Mm. I mean, so he maybe is finding his feet and he's maturing as a manager. And managers do tend to improve as they get older until they get to a point where the game completely passes them by, which we talked about before. Maybe Hughes is just maturing as a manager.
It's a sweet spot, isn't it?
He's obviously decent at getting players in. You know, they've got Bojan. He apparently talked Shaqiri into it, didn't he?
Yeah, which is really impressive.
He must have sold him the project and all that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm really, really happy that it's working so well for Bojan and Shaqiri. Are two players that
were likeable,
good players, deserve better than the situations they were in with not playing very much. And what I like about Shaqiri as well, I think to a degree Afellay, they're both, as well as being very skillful, they're both quite physical, quite tough players.
They've got a lot of desire and they're both strong lads, definitely.
And that's fit Stoke's ethos.
Shaqiri's an absolute barrel of a man.
Yeah.
You know, you'd hate to be up against him. He's sort of guy, he's about 5'7" or something, but he looks like he could steamroll it over you.
Yes,
he's got a bit of the Tevez about him, actually, like that.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
If he can just get like 5 or 6 games where he plays... where he gives you 8 out of 10 every match, because he seems to have one match on, one match off at the moment.
I think that's maybe been a bit of a problem for Stoke in general, isn't it?
Mm. They didn't have a match off, though, when they beat Manchester United 2-0.
No.
Because that was a fantastic performance from them. Memphis Depay, can we talk about that?
If you want.
That.
Wow.
You're right about Stoke. I mean, sorry, you're moving on from Stoke. I was just thinking about
their
Stoke.
Game with Man United.
Yeah, you're right about the consistency thing. Mm. It's a thing, because looking at Stoke's results, I mean, they obviously beat Man United and they've beat Everton, but before that, they lost at home to Palace.
Yeah.
And they drew against West Ham.
I was about to say.
They lost to Sunderland.
There you are. Yeah.
Silly behaviour.
Yeah. Very silly. Manchester United drew 0-0 with Chelsea. Mm. Very fast and furious game to begin with. Actually, it was pretty open, but still no goals.
Yeah. United fans will be at least at half pleased, presumably, at their team play with a touch of tempo for a change.
Their first half performance, I thought, was the best I've seen all season, and possibly a lot of last season as well. They played on the break. They were really, really quick. But the Man United supporters were still booing at half time, even though that's the best half of football I think I've seen them.
See, that doesn't help, does it? You get in a cycle then. If they're actually playing well and doing everything they can to break down the champions, regardless of how things are going for them, that just doesn't help them. You can't play against the team and your own crowd.
Man United haven't won for 8 games. Manchester United
absolutely
haven't won a game
crazy.
In 8.
That's funny. Crazy. Like how the narrative when Rooney was dropped for the game against Stoke. seemed to be from the media. There was a bit of surprise at it. Dwight York was saying it was the wrong time to do it, the wrong time to sort of make that statement. And I just think, well, he's not played well.
When's the so right time?
Why does he become untouchable from that? Again, boys' club thing.
Again, though, he did come back for this match and had a really good first half, certainly. Yeah. He missed a couple of chances second half. Yeah. Luke was particularly annoyed at one of them.
Well, he almost looks like he can't get his leg very high anymore.
This is embarrassing. The one I was railing against is like the ball came over his shoulder and he just completely failed to connect with it. And fine, that happened, you know, whatever. It shouldn't happen, but it does.
But
lots of players. But even, in my opinion, even if he had connected, his body shape and his technique, he's going to fly over the bar. It's the act of a completely unconfident player. And actually, the manager should show a bit of leadership and remove him from the side for a while, which he tried to do, and now he's brought him back again. And it's not, you're not going to do anything just by dropping him for one game and then bring him on that game anyway, and then starting in the next game.
Well, to be fair, though, I mean, he was named man of the match and he had a better performance. He has responded to it, just, you know, not with a goal.
I wasn't focusing on the game clearly, concentrating on it enough to know one way or the other, but I've seen Wayne Rooney be given man of the match when he's performed one of the worst individual performances I've ever seen, and the Sun gave him man of the match, and I think it was against Aston Villa, and it was an absolute embarrassment.
There was a couple of moments in the first half where he did that thing that I like but don't like, where he loses the ball and then he runs after the player and hacks him down, and he did it to Willian a couple of times, and I was like, well, you know what, at least you're doing that.
Is that what it's come to?
At least you've listened to the ramble and you've learned something.
It's funny how the narrative has switched from Chelsea being really bad to United being really bad, because Chelsea, I mean, at one point they had, I think, Ramirez, John Obi Mikel and Nemanja Matic on, clearly settling for a 0-0, which, when you think, you know, they are the champions still, surely they should have more confidence in themselves that they can go to Old Trafford and get a result.
This
is meant to be a new start, isn't it?
The problem is that with the way that Hiddink's come in there and the way that they're in such trouble, it's essentially a case of baby steps and just doing basic things right and building it piece by piece, and if that means you have to go there and avoid first couple of games in there while he's still working out what to do, he has to avoid defeat, and he has to do that. I mean, you can't be expected to do anything different, I don't think.
It could either have been 0-0 or 3-0, to be honest, because there's some excellent keeping performances from
De Gea and Courtois made some fantastic saves, but they're the two standout players, aren't they? Like, they're the ones who haven't really done
De Gea.
Matic's amazing attempts at howitzers.
That was
incredible. Banana slice
one-on-one and over the bar.
The Manja Matic goals are like, they should come along when the team is playing well, and it's like a Michael Essien type goal. It's the cherry on the cake. We're playing well, we're winning the games, we're 2 or 3 like with 20 minutes to go, Matic steps up, has a long range one and it goes in, and we're all happy with that.
To be fair,
he should not be doing them at 0-0 when the team needs to recycle possession and keep a bit of pressure on.
I agree with you. Maybe not Essien though, because Essien, the two goals that they leaped to mind was that goal against Arsenal for the 1-1 draw, and the absolutely beautiful volley against Barcelona in the semi-final.
Makélélé.
Fine.
Yeah. Although Makélélé scored a penalty.
Yeah.
He took a penalty. The goalkeeper saved it, and it was sort of like he tackled it in on the rebound.
That was on the last day of the season when they'd already won the league. But again, that was the winning goal.
You know what I'm trying to say.
I know what you're trying to say.
You're just being a tit.
Yes. Yes, I am, Jim. Yes, I am. If the reports are suggesting that Mourinho is obviously salivating at the potential chance to get the Manchester United job.
Got the flags. Yes. Sorry, not the flags, the scarves.
That's right. There were scarves outside Old Trafford, apparently, with Mourinho on Manchester United.
Paul Scholes apparently was on punditing and called it.
He's fuming about that.
I think he just said literally something like, well, I don't know what that clown's doing there.
Scholesy.
Imagine that. You're a big Man United fan. He's been called a clown by Paul Scholes.
But also, Mourinho's also being linked back to the Madrid job, isn't he?
Because
obviously Benitez is in trouble there. Now, according to the Telegraph, he doesn't ideally want to return to Madrid to replace Benitez if that does indeed come about. But I just thought it would be fantastic if Mourinho then started making his way back to all these other clubs.
I hate to say I told you so, Jim, but do you remember I said a couple of weeks ago, what he's done at Chelsea is not going to affect his reputation one iota. He's going to be linked to every single job and he's going to have his pick.
Because
the cult of Mourinho is absolutely huge and it always will be. I don't see how. I think he might go to United, but I think they'll need convincing to take him on. I don't think he's a fit there at all.
No, absolutely not. But
PSG would be the obvious one.
He wants to match up.
But they've got a manager, though.
Yeah, he's doing well. He wants to match up against Guardiola, doesn't he? He wants Guardiola to go to City, and then he wants to go to United, and then he wants it to be an absolute ding-dong.
The thing
from there
he's
on.
The dungeon master. He just wants the story to be right.
And let the eye-poking commence.
You're absolutely right, Jim. That's what he wants. Because he wants a sideshow that you can focus on. So if he's not successful, you get lost in that sort of narrative.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
But Michael Cox was tweeting on Twitter that actually the games between Real Madrid, Mourinho's Madrid, and Guardiola's Barcelona weren't actually that entertaining.
There was a massive 5-0, wasn't there? That was a good one.
Yeah. Well, okay. So it was one sided.
Yeah.
And he was actually
I personally found that very entertaining.
Well, didn't we watch a Mourinho versus Pep? But Mourinho was at Inter Milan.
That was the same season where
they won it.
We beat them in the semi-final, but we saw them in the group stage.
Exactly. That's right.
Barcelona won 2-0. But I said, Michael, I do agree with you.
Yeah.
But also, I think it would be brilliant.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Did you say it in that weird voice?
I sort of tried to do a Paul McCartney. Now, Michael, we're not going to fight about this. You remember in on the Thriller track with Michael Jackson?
Should we have a pop at Michael Cox?
That's the biggest selling album of all time.
Yeah.
No, not having a pop at anybody.
Why have a pop at Michael Cox?
No, it's a bit of fun.
I like
the
king of pop.
Nice guy.
What?
Hang on.
Very knowledgeable. Are you getting Jackson and Cox mixed up?
Possibly.
Yeah.
One of them
stop
had a very...
getting Cox wrong.
Which one lived on
chimpanzee.
Neverland? Which one lived on Neverland? That was Cox, wasn't it?
I think so. They're both good lads, says Michael Jackson. Right, where the hell are we? Manchester United versus Chelsea. I think we've done that, haven't we?
Yeah.
Watford versus Spurs.
Spurs are third.
Jamie Carragher has tweeted that Spurs can win the league.
I think that cleaner hit him harder than I thought. Absolutely knocked the sense out of him.
Well, Marcus, I hate to be drilling
on his iPad later.
I hate to sort of back up Jamie Carragher, but I mean, they are 4 points off the top of the league and there's half the season to go. So technically speaking, of course they can win the league.
At the time of recording.
And what did we say earlier? We said all the league is crying out for, or all managers are crying out for, is just a bit of consistency, and that's what Spurs are doing.
That's very true. We're going to talk more about Spurs after this.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Spurs are third.
Yeah, and what
even after the ad break.
Yeah, and still we just had to check in the ad break. They're usually fifth.
Yeah.
The thing I like about Spurs is they don't concede goals. They use the ball very well, and it's easy to see the philosophy and stuff. At the beginning of the season, we were sort of saying, well, I was saying, but I'm going to say we were saying, so it makes me sound less stupid.
Yep.
That we're not really sure what Spurs are about, and they didn't seem to have that much pace in their team. But now it all seems to be coming together very nicely, and good for them. I mean, they use, like I said, they use the ball well. They got a good young team. It'd be interesting to see if they can last the distance.
I mean, Kane coming through the ranks for them was just such a huge, just incredible bit. Well, luck is the wrong term, but their problem position was solved so perfectly from within.
Yeah,
and I mean, he recently broke Teddy Sheringham's record for most goals for Tottenham in a calendar year, didn't he?
That's right.
I mean, that's about as good as you could hope for.
That's right. Lamella's playing well this season too.
He's still patchy though, isn't he? That's the thing.
He's got that goal against Watford was a nice one.
Beautiful.
It was terrible defending though.
It was. Yeah, but you got a pound. He did that. What do you call it when you hit the ball behind you?
Kicking.
Rabona.
Yeah.
He did one of them the other week. At home in the 3-0 win against Norwich, and I thought, I don't know, it sounds like I'm an enemy of football, because that's the kind of stuff you do like to see, don't you?
Was he doing it when they were 3-0 up?
I can't remember what the score
was. If he was,
there were two or three.
Then carry on.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. But I did think to myself, I just like to see, he did score against Watford, but like you said before, Luke...
Talk yourself around, Marcus.
Yeah. I like to see it, was great.
Have you been replaced by Jason Cundy?
I don't know what I was doing there.
Yeah. He was effectively saying that...
I was about to say,
is that a bit flash? Because I thought the same thing, but he nearly scored. So it kind of justifies it.
Yeah, basically, I just think with Spurs, when you've got a shooting opportunity, they need to make sure they put the game to bed. Rather than with all that kind of stuff.
Spursing it up.
It's interesting. It'd be interesting, you know, imagine if they got that move for Berahino sorted at the beginning of the season. Yeah, because, I mean, the one thing they're lacking is an out-and-out striker to back up Harry Kane, aren't they? And so if they got Berahino over the line, and he was not necessarily even starting, because I'm not suggesting he can lead the line consistently for a top four team or whatever, but he could at least push Kane. And Kane had quite a slow start to the season. And they could be absolutely flying.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think what will probably do for Tottenham is being in the Europa League. You know, I think they'll do quite well in it. I think they'll probably get quite far, and those extra games really stack up.
They've got Fiorentina next.
Well,
and they knocked them out last year. Just chuck it. If they go into that game and they're a couple of points top of the league, just chuck it.
Mm. They might yet go back in for Berahino. And I mean, it would be encouraging to Tottenham that what happened in the summer clearly hasn't affected his head at all.
He's
knuckled down, hasn't he?
Pulis said he's not good enough to get on the bench at the moment or something like that. Pulis is really
getting
angry.
The post-match after the West Brom game today was brilliant because Pat Murphy, that's why I remembered Pat Murphy from earlier, because he was interviewing Pulis and he was asking him questions about Berahino over and over again. And after a while he went, oh, come on, Pat. Come on, Pat. You know that's between me and Saido.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's a nice old fashionedness about
Pulis.
I think Pulis seems like a good guy.
We said that, but I think we forgot what he said about Ranieri, which I think was neat. Well, basically, it was put to him about how well Leicester were doing. He was like, yeah, but you know, Nigel's done all that and he's just taking the credit for it, really. It's needlessly snide.
I quite like it.
Well, he's probably met to Nigel, though. I mean, if he's any friends with anyone. The tough, no-nonsense Nigel. Yeah,
imagine a night on the town with them
wingmen.
Them not letting you into a bar.
Would you like to come to my house, madam? Yeah, that, imagine those two on the door.
Yeah.
At any establishment.
It would be empty. No one would be allowed in.
It's true.
Yeah.
The bar staff wouldn't even be able to get in.
You'd never be able to get a charger for Frey against Pulis to stick, because he'd always have the baseball cap on.
That's right.
Behind his face. CCTV would be useless.
Maybe that's what it is. He just doesn't trust himself. He knows he might erupt.
You don't go out half as much now as CCTV's around, do you, Pete?
No. I carry my own just for my own protection.
That's where you go at Hartlepool.
Yeah.
That's it. He's not from Hartlepool at all. You're in watching the CCTV, aren't you? Igalo scored.
That's what he does.
He just bullied that whole
lovely
goal.
How dare he score that? If you look at that, at a very crucial moment in that goal, he has got Tottenham's entire defence on him.
Yeah, occupied. Marcus had a little bit of George Ware about him, and I know what it means when he says that. I mean, because it was one of those goals which was simultaneously really, really good forward play, but also quite annoyingly weak defending as well.
A little bit of luck involved as well when he just drags it.
Son with a neat finish to win the game.
Lovely goal.
Gomez kind of, when he punches the ball away, if you watch the clip again, he punches the ball.
I've done my job now, he says.
Yeah, and he just sort of sits there and looks and goes,
oh, is your dad, Pat?
I have a little rest.
Is he going to cross it? Oh, no. Oh,
fuck's sake.
Oh, dear. Arsenal are top of the league as we record this.
Yeah.
Jim, are you giddy?
Relieved.
Because
after the terrible, terrible display against Southampton.
I was about to say,
what was that all about? I still can't understand it.
It was one of the worst displays I've ever seen from Arsenal.
4-0 away to Southampton.
I mean, Southampton played incredibly well. It was a textbook performance of how to beat Arsenal.
Just awful.
But we were just penned into our own halves, and there were so many poor individual displays. They got at Mertesacker in particular. Koscielny was quite sloppy as well. Mm. I mean, a lot of talk about how, you know, there was offside in the build-up to the first goal and a few other issues here and there. So, you know, Southampton had the ball in the net 6 times in total. Like, they just absolutely bombarded us by hitting it long to Shane Long. I mean, we've got to be better than that, surely. Mm. No, I mean, no disrespect to him, because he was absolutely brilliant.
Should be able to read it. Clues in the name.
Absolutely. it's a very, very clear, direct plan. You've got to have more about you than that. But let's not talk about that ever again. And go on to us.
I want to say that it's completely embarrassing for Arsenal to not even really trouble the score sheet against Southampton, because they're defensively full of errors since Forster's been injured.
Worse than that, this is a stat from that game. Hector Bellerin was the only Arsenal player to win a tackle.
Oh my goodness.
And that was one. The only one won tackle.
Wow.
Little victories.
But
they beat Bournemouth.
Yeah, they did.
And Cech is now a clean sheet Premier League god king.
Top of the league. It's just enjoyable. Can we just stop it now?
Check, Jim, a little check.
It's a brilliant achievement. And also, I think it's been hanging over him for a while. It's one of those things, it's one of those little narratives you just want to get out of the way. It's obvious that he was going to get it at some point. And it's good to just not have be that, you know, another stick to beat Arsenal with every time they do concede.
Gabriel is first for the club.
Yeah, absolute, really aggressive header.
He just, terrible, non-existent defending.
Assaulted that in. assaulted that into the net.
Yeah, Ozil with a nice one and Giroud's lovely assist. Ozil, I'm glad that he did something very important in the game after that, because in that Southampton game, it's a classic game where people go, oh, he's gone missing again.
But he hadn't. He was doubled up. Jordi Klaassen and Victor Wanyama were both on him constantly.
But they were all dreadful.
Yeah, everyone was.
And in the past, people may pin all that on Ozil.
Ozil will be PFA Player of the Year. I'm sure of that.
Do you think?
I'm sure of that.
Mahrez?
Yeah. I think Ozil's more likely to last the distance.
Yeah. Well, of course, Tomer.
And Arsenal more likely to win the league.
At the time of recording, Leicester haven't played Manchester City, but that is a thigh rubber.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
Liverpool ended Leicester's unbeaten run in the league since the Arsenal defeat.
Are they not watching? Join in, Liverpool.
Liverpool will very much remember when Chelsea spoiled their title push. Yeah. Obviously, when Mourinho parked the bus, and they're thinking, well, we're getting our own back on somebody else who plays in blue.
Yeah, we'll take it out on them.
Yeah, or either that or they just wanted 3 points, which is more than understandable. Manchester City, they could be top again, though, of course. They beat Sunderland 4-1 over the Christmas period. Yeah. And you just think with Manchester City, if they actually wake up, they really could just go, right, hang on a minute, sod this.
Well, that performance very much smacked of that.
Yeah, I mean, it was Sunderland at home.
Of course, but still, you know, you got.
But do you know what I mean, though, with Manchester City?
Convincingly, and they did.
But then Company came on, didn't he? And then he goes off again.
That's a nightmare for them.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know how, you know, what the, you know, prognosis is.
Even if they win, they won't go above Arsenal. They're 4 points behind them, aren't they? So, I mean, it'll take them a while to get that top spot back. Because Arsenal play Newcastle. Arsenal play Newcastle next. I'm going to that game, so I'll be delivering my assessment post.
Enjoy the goals. Yeah. enjoy the goal fest. Yeah. I don't think we're going to sneak a 1-0 like Andy Carroll did about 5 years ago.
No.
Oh, dear me. Before we move on from the Premier League, Norwich beat Aston Villa 2-0. Yeah. Good win for Norwich.
Second goal, just left Mbakani unmarked in the box.
Yeah, he'd be...
get down to it, boys. Really dig in. Don't mark strikers
in the
box. In the
post-match, the interviewer said to Remy Gard, oh, do you think you could deserve more out of that game? And he went, yeah, not really.
Yeah.
Can I also take this opportunity to point out that Aston Villa spent £48.6 million in the summer?
I think it's worth reminding us. They've got 8 points. that is really, really awful,
really,
isn't it?
Poor.
I mean, 8 points from 19 games. Are they on for Derby County's record?
Six fans deserve so much better.
It's £6 million a point, isn't it? It's £6 million a point based on those signings and then what's been delivered in return.
Yeah.
So basically, in that case, right, if it's £6 million a point, I'm just going to do a few sums here.
Yeah.
If they want to win, if they want to get like safety, they are going to need 40 and a sec times six. 240 million.
Yeah.
By
TV
the point.
Money's coming.
By the point.
Van Gaal should be able to help him out.
Yeah.
He'll be able to advise him on that.
It's like when you're not good enough at a football video game, you've got to spend more money for like those packs, those sticker packs that you get for better players.
Top
and stuff.
Up.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though you've already paid for the game.
That's true. Whereas Norwich have 20 points from 19 games this season. Same again, boys, you should be safe.
But Marcus, the reason I bring this up is not to kick Aston Villa when they're down.
No.
Although that is part of it.
No.
It's because a lot of people will think that, oh, well, Randy Leonard's lost interest and he wants to sell the club, which I'm sure is true, but he has like piped up with a load of money for players who are either unproven, gambled, or sort of not quite up to it in the case of someone like Rudiger Stead. So it's not as though he hasn't. The problem is if you have like a fairly inexperienced sort of transfer committee signing players, and then you give them to Tim Sherwood for the first however many games of the season, it's going to go wrong.
You know, to be fair, they got a lot of money for Benteke, didn't they? So, you know, the net spend probably isn't that high.
They lost their two best players.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that was reinvested. Yeah. In the squad. It's not as though Lerner's just taken the money and run with it.
But do you not think that those players really did kind of paper over some pretty massive cracks last season and the season before that?
Yeah, because of Delph and Heskey, bloody hell. Benteke. But the thing is, their best outfield player this season has probably been that Jordan Namavi. But he's a left-sided player.
Well, Jordan Ayew's done okay.
He has. He's done well recently.
But they need more Jordans in there.
But Namavi is probably their best outfield player. He has been this season. And he is like a left-back who is much better going forward than he is defending. And when he goes to try to defend, he sort of makes mistakes because he's inexperienced. Mm. It doesn't bode well, does it? And as you said, Jim, the second goal against Norwich, it's an embarrassment, embarrassment.
You mentioned Randy Lerner. They're obviously one of the big boys at Aston Villa. Well, Norwich have got a new chairman in the form of former Member of Parliament, Ed Balls.
Of Twitter fame.
Ed Twitter Balls. The Ed former Balls. Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Yes.
For the Labour Party.
I've played football against him.
Have you?
Demoniser in my... Demoniser, you know, obviously based on the Tony Blair...
I've played against him. James Purnell was playing for him and I played against him.
Yeah.
How did you get... He's a bit reckless on the football pitch,
They weren't a nice team to play. They were quite violent. But not very good with it as well. They were just like, you know, like older blokes who go, oh, and kick you off the field.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Now I'm the older block.
It's weird. Ed Balls did have the best job title. I think we've discussed this before, but Shadow Chancellor is amazing.
I think it's decent. Right, are we ready to move on? We're going to go quickly to the Championship.
Derby atop.
Crazy. What was the great Middlesbrough fact?
I don't know the exact minutage. Oh, they're not top because Middlesbrough just won, didn't
they? Well, I was about to correct you.
Middlesbrough haven't conceded a goal for something like 11 hours or something like that.
But they've got the same goal difference, so it must mean that Middlesbrough don't score that many goals. Mm. I reckon.
I think I've been right in saying Middlesbrough haven't conceded a goal since they lost to Hull. And that was Middlesbrough way back at the beginning of the
scored 34, Derby have scored 35, which among the top scorers in the league, I think Brentford have got the most.
Yeah. We watched that match at the same time as the Manchester United-Chelsea match. And it was
while also watching highlights of other matches. So much fun.
It was very discombobulating, but I mean, Middlesbrough scoring so early in that match, it was going to be risky.
They're so solid, though. Mm. You see them play against Brighton away from home, and they were just so solid. And at the time, Brighton were undefeated, and Borough just a class above. They really did.
But do you not think that bodes well for the Premier League when Middlesbrough presumably...
Don't care, Pete.
Roll up. What do you mean?
Take it as it comes. Probably do this show again every week for next season. Yeah. So,
right. Pete, else I hear you, man, and I agree with you. Mm. It was good, though, for Bolton because they beat Blackburn 1-0, ended their 17-match winless streak. Gary Medin with the goal. Heskey and Amiobi are still there, but they didn't play in this one.
No, that's why they won.
I think due to injuries. Bolton are facing a winding up petition. And they're under a transfer embargo. They're terrible.
They're actually in terrible trouble.
They really are. So, good that they gave their fans a bit of a Christmas cheer. So let's hope that they're around for a lot longer and they can get themselves out of that.
Well, a pretty historic club, you know, to say the least. I mean, we don't want anything bad to happen to them.
No.
But
they're off the foot of the table.
They really are struggling.
They do. Let's have some... let's go to the Scottish Premiership!
Yeah.
Oh, come on then, eh? Celtic couldn't win, could they? Against the Magnificence. They went away to Tynecastle. Oh, they didn't leave with the 3 points, Jim. They left with one. There were some lovely goals in that game. Hearts, both the goals for Hearts were superb.
It's really annoying because Aberdeen
good
on
goals.
Top of their
we only score You're good right, goals.
Yeah. Jim, give him a nudge, will you?
Drunk grandpa.
Aberdeen drew as well, otherwise they would have gone top.
They did. The Dons came from 2-0 down to salvage a point at home, though, and they stay 1 point behind Feltek, to a wonderful last minute Hearts equaliser.
But they've played a game more than them, haven't they?
They have, yes. Yeah. So if you think about it, you know, Aberdeen, they were 2-0 down, they salvaged a point, and then obviously Hearts snatched a point in the dying minute. So it wasn't too bad for Aberdeen if you look at the context. Look, that's the crucial thing to always
look
at
the context.
Always look at the context. But Hearts, what a wonderful goal it was. Slightly deflected at the last minute. I still think it was heading for that top corner. Yeah. I'm sure you'll agree. Any more for any more?
That sums it up, mate.
Yeah.
I'm going to America with a man from Aberdeen tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Lovely.
Lovely old time.
Little San Francisco holiday with an Aberdeenian.
San Francisco.
It's Aberdonian, by the way.
I just corrected myself, Luke. If you were listening a little clearer.
Wasn't listening.
Do you know what a person from Edinburgh is called?
Edinoodies.
Edinburgher.
An Edinburgher.
Yep. It's true, yeah. Nice.
Oh, good.
The news part front for City.
Aren't people from you might know this, Pete? Aren't people from South Shields called Sand Dancers?
Oh, right? Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
It's a strange one.
Mm. That is very strange, isn't it?
While you're sitting at work punching them numbers into them boxes, why not head on over to thefootballramble.com and have a gander? You'll find more highlights than a night at Crystals.
Turkish Super League time. Oh, it's about time, I'd say.
Yep. That's why we turn up every week.
That's right. That is absolutely right, Jimmy. Yeah, Samuel Eto'o has been playing in Turkey, as you well know, at Antalyaspor. I think that's how you say it.
Antalyaspor.
Yeah. They were close to capturing Ronaldinho.
I think that's you actually have to physically capture him
with a net. Ronaldinho net.
In a pokeball.
That wouldn't be that hard these days.
No.
No.
You just simply need to locate him.
Does he know he can retire? Does he know he can just stop doing this?
But like Brazilian footballers, and certainly like players of his calibre, like Ronaldo and stuff, they seem to retire quite early. They just run on fumes for ages, sort of going, oh, I might sign for someone,
Like David Bentley.
A little bit like David Bentley, yeah. A little bit.
Well, Rivaldo was the opposite, though. He just went on and on and on.
But Eto'o, though... In his mind, he's retired about 32.
That's right. But Eto'o, though, he's been playing for this side. He's only 34. You think of a player of his quality... there's a funny face looking at me. I won't tell you whose it is. They're perhaps suggesting that Eto'o may not be 34. But he's officially 34.
He's younger than me. That's fine.
All right, yeah. Well, when you say that, when you bring in those kind of slants on things, then fair enough. But he's officially 34, and he's playing for them. But he was put in as the club's interim player manager, which is quite wonderful. Mm. He signed for them last June on a three-year contract. Three-year contract?
Three,
I know. And he's been given three matches to impress. Now, the club said they'll make a decision after the winter break as to whether or not they'll give Eto'o the job on a permanent basis. One of Eto'o's former teammates, Patrick Mboma, nice to hear his name, said of the appointment, "He has the personality and the knowledge, but I am not sure he will have the patience." I love that. "If he can improve on the areas where he is weak, he could be a success." I think that goes for all of us, Patrick.
Yeah.
but it's good to hear from his very, very important opinion on that matter. Eto'o as a player manager, I think, is great because he had a great work rate when he was a player. Yeah. A lot of the Barcelona pressing came from him leading that front line.
He was absolutely fantastic.
He was a magnificent forward player.
I think he was the best striker in the world at one point.
He was. In the write-up, you put under Eto'o, they lost one and drew one, scoring no goals. But I read it as Uncle Eto'o. And I thought, oh, we're calling him Uncle Eto'o.
Uncle Eto'o, like Uncle Abby.
But then I found out he's younger than me, so I can't really call him Uncle.
Well, they lost one and drew one, and he was given three games, and they were going to make a decision after the winter break. Well, he obviously didn't impress, because on Boxing Day it was announced the former Liverpool player, Luis Garcia, will be taken over from Eto'o, according to reports.
Player manager, like, remember when... Because Anelka is player manager in Mumbai at the moment, isn't he? And he's already been player manager at Shanghai as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or in Shanghai.
Yeah.
It's just I reckon he's going to offer three. Something that rhymes with I. I'm trying to think of a club based in a city that's I, Shanghai, Mumbai, somewhere else. It's got to be somewhere.
Yeah, it has to be.
If you've got an idea, do email in. But it only seems. But player managers only seem to work if they're Scottish. Dad Leash, Strachan, Souness. They're the only decent player managers that anyone has ever
Glenn Hoddle? Glenn Hoddle.
Ah, Glenn Hoddle. Yeah. Now, Hoddle,
no.
Come on.
No.
He got them promoted.
I know he was, and so was Hullett, but I'm just saying that the best ones...
Hoddle's up there.
I saw Hoddle come to Fratton Park as Swindon player manager, and he ran things. as a sweeper.
Yeah, he was. He was different classes.
There's a sweeper. The Pompey fans were singing Old Man River.
The Swindon sweeper.
He wasn't playing as he played in his normal kind of role. That wasn't his position usually. I'm not having this.
You talking about Hullett?
No, you're talking about
Hullett.
Hoddle
could play Hoddle anywhere. Oh, Hoddle was playing sweeper for Swindon as player manager. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
You don't penalise the man and go, well, you're not playing in behind the front man or something
like that. But you wouldn't have gotten the team if he was playing his position.
No, but he changed his position.
Yeah, he adapted.
Just like Ryan Giggs changed his position.
And he could get in the team because he was the manager.
I'm just saying, the Donaldson directive is that if you're Scottish, you're allowed to be player manager. And
Gianluca
Vialli.
What do you think Alex Neil should be? Quite young.
Alex Neil still
going. Who would you fancy for the next player manager? Darren Fletcher.
Yeah. I'm not against it.
No,
Darren Ferguson.
I think we Paul Lambert could still do a job.
Yeah, Owen Coyle's Irish, wasn't he?
Mm. Yeah. No, he's not, is he? Owen Coyle.
Owen Coyle played for Ireland, didn't he?
Come on, though.
Yeah, all right.
Come on, though. Like, have you seen the Italian '94? Not the Italian '94. What was that one? The USA '94 Ireland squad.
Yeah.
There weren't many Irish
in
there.
Is that what the manager would have been, Andy Roxburgh or somebody at the time, trying to convince him, I'm going to play for Ireland?
Owen Coyle is as Scottish as they come, and I'm not having anything.
No, but
different.
I think he's got a one cap for Ireland, though, so there
we
are.
Yeah, he has, but I mean, he was born in Paisley. The guy is a Scot.
Yeah, in the same way Aidan McGeady as well.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
okay.
Yeah,
all I'm saying is to tap into Pete's new trope. He's trying to personally rebrand himself away from yogurt wetting himself and kissing men. Yeah. he wants to talk about Scottish Pair Magic. I'm cool. He's to all intents and purposes a Scotsman.
Yeah, I finished that. Yeah.
There we are. There we are. Shall we go to the highlights of the Christmas period with Luke Moore?
Let's.
I'm just over here, you guys.
Come on then.
Hello.
Why not give it to us, Luke?
I'm starting off this section with a little David Pleat quote.
Oh, yeah.
Good evening, everyone.
Yep.
This is from the fun Twitter account.
The quote's been and gone, by the way, in case you were waiting for it.
No. which is at SHIT Pundits Say. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the full swear word, but anyway, you can check it out if you want. Mm-hmm. David Pleat on Five Live. Talking about Son's winner against Watford earlier, saying Son was an inventive finish, something maybe they do in South Korea because I haven't seen that over here before.
He did a little flick that we've seen.
Yeah, you have seen it before, David. Yeah. You just don't remember. Bob Dunn says...
Nobody make him eat kimchi. This blows his mind. What's this? Dirt lettuce.
Bob Dunn's been in touch saying Newcastle United acting like an estranged dad who promised so much before Christmas then just failed to show up and didn't even send a present.
Oh,
you feel like that, you Pete?
That's lovely.
Yeah.
No, pricey tickets.
Kit Parker says, my highlight is this is the first time I've seen this notification on Facebook. Now I can finally try and contribute. If only I had a highlight. And he ventures nothing more.
Turn your notifications off by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Sean McKenna says, the foresight to bring Aurelio Gomez to the Premier League is finally paying off for Spurs. And I'll finish this off with Michael Friel, who says, I'm a Villa fan. Any highlights I pick are unrelated to football and then also fails to offer anything at all.
We feel
your pain, Michael. But again, as I've said to you before, it's not as though your club haven't spent money in the summer.
I thought we were going to have some highlights of people's Christmases.
I did ask for that, but I didn't deliver.
No, because they're all too busy enjoying the Christmas festivities.
They're not ready for another ramble yet. They're playing around with their iPhones, their new iPhones. They haven't worked out podcasting.
Too much to do.
Any highlights for anybody? I mean, Pete, obviously you've been talking about Muslims and bathtubs.
Well, obviously my Christmas highlight was dropping some yoghurt on two men kissing, and you'll never guess what happens next.
Watch the video for more on thefootballramble.com.
Pete's a new random editor at BuzzFeed.
Yeah, random.
I went to Conference South.
Yes, you did.
Which is now called Vanarama National League South, I think, but I'm going to stick with Conference South.
Mm-hmm.
To see Gosport Borough 2, Havant and Waterlooville 1, and it was a local derby, and there were three goals of sublime quality in there. So it was well worth it. The only thing I will say is, and I don't want to have a go at non-league football because it's a bit of a sort of a golden goose, and that you can't go, oh, I'll go to watch non-league football, but it's a bit of a joke because people get annoyed about it. But £13 to get in is too much.
Yep.
For that tier of football. And there were three great goals and almost another amazing goal as well, which was just over the bar. The quality was fine. The goal scoring was fantastic. But £13 for a non-league game on Boxing Day is too much money, in my opinion.
You've got to pay the rent, though.
You've got to pay the rent. I enjoyed US international Omar Gonzalez. He moved from LA Galaxy to Pachuca, I think it's pronounced in Mexico.
Mexico, yeah.
In the press conference when he was unveiled, dressed in full Darth Vader headgear for the unveiling. Nice. But it was all being talked over, and he was just stood there with the helmet on, not saying anything. He was flanked by a stormtrooper, a Jedi Knight, and Chewbacca.
Nice.
I mean, eventually they do it hanging out.
Yeah, why is Chewbacca?
That's narratively inconsistent.
That's not canon.
Is it fair to say he's going to be a Death Star of the future?
He is. He's obviously not taking it seriously, Jim and Pete. I don't know why you are.
You might say he's taking it lightly, Sabre.
Maybe the Jedi and Chewbacca were his prisoners, to be fair.
Mm. Could have been. Pete, you enjoyed a moment that involved Leighton Orient.
Leighton Orient, what's this again? Oh yes, that's right, yeah. I was going to do it.
Hey, Marcus knows your own thought.
I was going to do it in the other show, but I'll do it. Yeah, it's fine. Leighton Orient, the owner, Francesco Bacchetti.
Yes.
Kicking his own manager, his own assistant manager, in the bot. Like, he proper goes for it. Like, the manager starts, like, going, yeah. And then the chairman starts going, yeah. And then you just see him run off the screen. And I'm going to say it's a screen because it is, Richard.
Yep.
And he proper goes to boot his assistant manager right up the bot. Yeah. It was so violent.
Wow.
I don't know what it is about beating Portsmouth. It just Italian chairmen just seem to have the crazies, don't they?
They love it.
They're not very demure. They've always got something going on.
Mm-hmm. Passionate people with passionate legs.
Passionate money. That's the problem.
Well, we were saying this earlier that even See, Italian chairman in football, especially ones who come over here, like Cellino, yeah. You know, they're reckless in reckless. Public. It's right. Ridiculous.
Brilliant.
It is. No, they are reckless. There's no two ways about it. Whereas the kind of the chairman, you know, British chairman that operate here, the ones who are considered buffoons, they kind of do it behind closed doors or they kind of transfer dealings or whatever it is. You don't ever see, oh, look, there's Mike Ashley and he's hit someone with a pogo stick wearing a clown hair or something. Do you know what I mean?
Mike Ashley would never own a pogo stick.
Well, exactly.
He'd own it for five minutes.
The stuff Cellino does, but that guy running on the pitch after the full-time whistle and fully booting his assistant manager up the arse. What are you doing? You can't, that's assault.
Yeah. Right. Is it worth me popping up with those two guys who were tweeting at Richard Keys?
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, that's pretty good, yeah.
I noticed on Richard Keys' Twitter earlier today that there's these two guys who were, I don't know them, so I'm not going to name them because I don't want to, in case they're the father of some other terrible stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're tweeting Richard Keys. One of them, and Richard Keys was doing some sort of like question and answer thing.
Which he regularly does.
Yeah. I mean,
which he's asking for trouble, by the way.
Yeah.
And this first guy comes in and says, how many pillows were stuffed with the hair off your hands when they shaved them? # given mitts.
Given mitts.
And then his mate just chips in and just says, fucking hell, Keezy, he's done you there. Remember when you said to Gray, would you smash that? Good times. And then the other guy comes back and then says, are they copying Keys into this? Comes back and says, yeah, then you ended up on TalkSport selling non-drip gloss for Wicks. Ha ha. Spectacular fall from grace, you mug. Jeez. That is what Richard Keys' Twitter must be like all the time. Like,
honestly, if you look at literally anything he tweets, people just say banter. It was banter. Yeah. Banter. Were you just having some banter? It's amazing.
It's funny you mentioned that, Jim, because Richard, the good man Richard, replies by saying, I genuinely feel sorry for sad people like you, but if I did have a fall, fine. And you? Nowhere to fall from. Both of them come back straight away. It was just banter.
Oh, Richard.
Oh, as Richard.
Purgatory.
As Richard,
banter purgatory.
As Richard squirms on the fish hook.
As he eats some Donaldson yogurt.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Donaldson yogurt.
Do we have any website roundups?
So babies are made.
We do have one very specific website roundup from our own website.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this is, you know, as ever, from the magnificent Kelly Wells. Going to call her magnificent?
Yeah, Christmas,
week.
Christmas Kelly Wells.
Magnificent, yeah. Kelly
Christmas Wells.
So, yeah, AC Milan's commercial decisions are questioned in light of their participation in a lady-strewn advert for tyres.
I saw that.
Shade,
it was awful.
Dreadful.
Mm.
Bloody dreadful in 2015.
Shade is thrown on Alexis Sanchez's usefulness in a musical situation and the 12 rambles of Christmas peaks as we revisit the infamous Game of Thrones one. So you can follow the always excellent Kelly Wells at Kelly_Wells.
Can I pull you up on that? Can I pull you up on that, Jim? And just... because you're delivering this roundup and I really want to pull Kelly up on
something.
The
messenger.
Yeah, I do very much so. The 12 Rambles of Christmas peaks specifically on the show that I wasn't on.
Read into that what you will.
I have. And I will continue to do so, and I'm typing an email
Kelly
out
Wells,
as we speak.
Kelly Wells goes at the Dean Mendes Hall of Fame. As well she might. Is the Alexis Sanchez mention about the incredible Instagram picture he put?
Oh my goodness.
It was like a video of Alexis Sanchez with his two dogs, and it was, what song was it, Genesis and
Another Day in Paradise.
Another Day in Paradise. And
Phil Collins.
It was a solo effort. It's just him filming himself with a camera phone, looking into the camera as if he's never seen a mobile phone before, and he's just got his two Labradors in the background, and with that music over the top of it.
Yeah, he tweets his dogs a lot and
what's
sort of
problem?
Instagrams his dogs.
Yeah, you don't need anything more than that. You've got never, Alexis Sanchez and two
you've
dogs.
Clearly never seen it, Luke, because it's
seen,
a no. work of beauty.
I
check it out.
It. I was saying, you sound like you're complaining about it.
I'm complaining because if you've seen it, you will probably would be complaining about it, to be fair.
Arsene Wenger probably saw it, thought, he's standing up there, he must be fit, I'm playing it.
What are those dogs doing on Saturday afternoon? Yeah. Get him a shirt.
Oh, yeah. I'd love that.
There we are.
We haven't got time for that now, Jim.
Yes, Jim. Any more for any more?
No.
Dogs. Right. If you want to get in touch with the email address, the show at thefootballramble.com. Tweet us at footballramble. Thefootballramble.com is the website. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and all the rest of it. That's it, isn't it? Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
# gibbon mitts.
Oh, he's done you there, Pete.
Yeah, banter.
Oh, you mug.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.